Law 20. Do not commit to anyone. It is the fool who always rushes to take sides. Do not commit to any side or cause but yourself. By maintaining your independence, you become the master of others, playing people against one another, making them pursue you. Part 1. Do not commit to anyone, but be courted by all. If you allow people to feel they possess you to any degree, you lose all power over them. By not committing your affections, they will only try harder to win you over. Stay aloof, and you gain the power that comes from their attention and frustrated desire. Play the Virgin Queen, give them hope, but never satisfaction. Observance of the law. In the mid-1500s, Queen Elizabeth I ascended the throne of England. And for many, many years, the issue was debated in Parliament of who, what type of husband she would bear, who she would marry. Now, it's expected in that time that a queen must quickly and do diligently marry as soon as possible to bear children and rule. Now, in this time, the years of debating, she had many bachelors, many suitable, proud, noble individuals come to her side, kind of trying to court her attention and trying to prove their worthiness of her marriage. And she was told that she had to quickly marry, because otherwise she would be too old to bear children, but she didn't argue, and she didn't discourage them. She kind of just let her be, remained a virgin nonetheless. Now this game she played with everybody, with all her suitors, conjured up all types of fantasies. You know, she ended up being, like, worshipped. And she was referred to as the world's empress. So to create some type of name like that, you really have to play the game well, and she was doing it very well. She wasn't committing to anybody, as this law pertains. She even manipulated two Frenchmen for the sake of diplomacy, so they could sign a peace treaty. So she used it to her advantage to rule the country peacefully. She did this for years and years, over a decade, and she died peacefully as the Virgin Queen. She didn't leave any children. But she ruled through peace and cultural fertility. Interpretation. Okay, now why did she do this? She did this because she knew that marriage can often lead to a ruler's undoing. By marrying, committing to somebody, all types of conflicts can be conjured up, which can eventually lead to war and you know, sometimes death. And her goals, this was in line with her goals. She took these actions in line with her goals to avoid marriage and to avoid war. And she had done this successfully. She dangled the possibility of marriage in order to forge alliances. The moment she committed to any single suitor would have been the moment she lost her power. She had to animate mystery and desirability, never discouraging anyone's hopes, but never yielding. At the center of attention, she was in control, keeping her independence above all. Elizabeth protected her power and made herself an object of worship. I would rather be a beggar and single than a queen and married. Queen Elizabeth I. And that reminds me of Kanye West. I'd rather be a dick than a swallower from a song called New Slaves of his album Yeezus. That kind of reminds me of it. Keys to power. Now this idea of not committing to anyone, but being courted by all, makes me think of, and I'm sure many other people, makes me think of women, but not just any woman, but people who have heavy social media followings, who are courting attention by posting certain specific tactful things. See, society calls that thirst trapping. You know, a lot of America use that term too. You know, when a girl will post provocative photos of herself, half naked, for attention, and she will leverage this to put herself in positions of opportunities, whether that be to make money or to be with high quality men, to be with powerful men. So you can play the modern day Queen Elizabeth. You can play the modern day Queen Elizabeth by leveraging your appearance, like your physical attractions, and leveraging the strengths you have. Remember though, the goal is not to put people off or to make it seem that you are incapable of commitment. Like the Virgin Queen, you need to stir the pot, excite interest, lure people with the possibility of having you. And the possibility of having somebody, the mystery, the provocation, is what is so enticing to so many people. It's why I believe the opposite sex has so much power. because of how the majority of men look at women. Not just any women, though. There's certain power to be said about a woman who can really excite interest. Excite interest and lure a man through mystery, the unknown. And it also makes me think of marriage and whether human beings are meant to be with one single person for their entire life. You know, polyamorous relationships and monogamous relationships. Polyamorous meaning multiple partners, monogamous, the opposite, is what we see most in our society, just one partner. So, not committing to anyone, people do that, people have polyamorous relationships. You ask that question, like, are human beings really wired to stay with one person for an extended period of time, for an entire lifetime, for years and decades? I don't know. I've seen success in both. But it just makes you think, do not commit to anyone falls in line with a polyamorous. Not committing completely to any one human being or thing or object, you are more free, you're more open, more opportunities. But also you may have less experience because you haven't fully made yourself vulnerable to another person or another being. So, just a thought. I want to hear yours. If you have strong thoughts, I want to hear it. Write it down below. But it's not just relationships. It's about conversation and values and opinions and beliefs. People who rush to the support of others tend to gain little respect in the process, for their help is so easily obtained, while those who stand back find themselves besieged and supplicants. Their aloofness is powerful, and everyone wants them on their side. When Picasso had become one of the most successful artists in the world in his time, he did not commit to any one dealer. He had attracted offers from everywhere, but appeared to have no interest in any one individual service, and this rose people's want for him and rose his prices, and his notoriety and his fame and his power. Stay aloof and people will come to you. It will become a challenge for them to win your affections. As long as you imitate the wise virgin queen and stimulate their hopes, you will remain a magnet of attention and desire. So really, don't commit 100% to any one camp or idea. Tai Lopez talks about being able to argue the other person's viewpoint just as well as you can argue your own. If you are a vegan, can you argue? Can you understand the opinion and point of view of someone who eats meat and eats freely whatever they want? Can you understand that? Can you argue it? Can you see the pros and cons and strengths and weaknesses of each argument? I think if you can understand that, then you can stay aloof. And if you do need to come to one side, because eventually you will, I would say do so due diligently, do so tactfully and slowly and patiently. Part 2. Do not commit to anyone, stay above the fray. Do not let people drag you into their petty fights and squabbles. Seem interested and supportive, but find a way to remain neutral. Let others do the fighting while you stand back, watch, and wait. When the fighting parties are good and tired, they will be ripe for picking. You can make it a practice, in fact, to stir up quarrels between other people, then offer to mediate, gaining power as the go-between. The kites, the crows, and the fox. The kites and the crows made an agreement among themselves that they should go halves in everything obtained in the forest. One day they saw a fox that had been wounded by hunters, lying helpless under a tree, and gathered round it. The crows said, "We will take the upper half of the fox." "Then we'll take the lower half," said the kites. The fox laughed at this and said, "I always thought the kites were superior in creation to the crows. As such, they must get the upper half of my body, of which my head with the brain and the other delicate things in it forms a portion." "Oh yes, that is right," said the kites. "We will have that part of the fox." "Not at all," said the crows. "We must have it, as already agreed." Then a war arose between rival parties, and a great many fell on both sides, and the remaining escaped with difficulty. But the fox continued there for some days. The fox prolonged his life by turning the kites and the crows against each other, because the kites and crows committed to one side, to one idea of having either the top half or bottom half of the fox, when really it didn't matter. As a result of their commitment and steadfastness to not change their opinion, conflict arose, and many fell, many died. This happens in real life. People always commit too far to one side, and they may not die, okay, but they may lose a friend, they may lose money, they may lose an opportunity, they may lose a wife or a partner, or husband. A loss is usually taken when people commit too heavily to one side, and they refuse to let up. But sometimes, no, you have to not let up, and you have to stand your ground, but more often than not, it results in a loss, as this story has told. Keys to Power. Now, what I'm about to read is honestly one of the best parts of the book so far, one of the most relevant, one of the most important things, I think, so far. I highlighted the shit out of it, so it's a little bit, but I think it's critical to understand. To succeed in the game of power, you have to master your emotions. But even if you succeed in gaining such self-control, you can never control the temperamental dispositions of those around you. And this presents a great danger. Most people operate in a whirlpool of emotions, constantly reacting, churning up squabbles and conflicts. Your self-control and autonomy will only bother and infuriate them. They will try and draw you into the whirlpool, begging you to take sides in their endless battles or to make peace for them. If you succumb to their emotional entreaties, little by little you will find your mind and time occupied by their problems. Do not allow whatever compassion and pity you possess to suck you in. You can never win in this game. The conflicts can only multiply. On the other hand, you cannot completely stand aside, for that would cause needless offense. To play the game properly, you must seem interested in the other person's problems, even sometimes appear to take their side. But while you make outward gestures of support, you must maintain your inner energy and sanity by keeping your emotions disengaged. No matter how hard people try to pull you in, never let your interest in their affairs and petty squabbles go beyond the surface. Give them gifts, listen with a sympathetic look, even occasionally play the charmer. But inwardly keep both friendly kings and the perfidious Borgias at arm's length. By refusing to commit and thus maintaining your autonomy, you retain the initiative. Your moves stay matters of your own choosing, not defensive reactions to the push and pull of those around you. Slowness to pick up your weapons can be a weapon itself. Even if you let other people exhaust themselves fighting, then take advantage of their exhaustion. There is so much power in what I just said, in what Robert Greene just wrote. It's hard to even speak on it. I don't think I really need to say any more. Just play that back, read it again. Page 152, 48 Levels of Power, if you got the book in front of you. Read it again, highlight it, put it up in your wall. Oftentimes when a conflict breaks out, you are tempted to side with the strongest party. That's natural, right? You want to be with the one with the most power, the strongest party, the one that offers you the best advantages. This is risky. One, because it's difficult to foresee which side will prevail in the long run. We've seen so many times great sports teams, basketball teams, NBA teams, who are notorious for winning, fall by weaker teams, by supposedly weaker teams. And people had put so much money on a certain team and they lost. But even if you guess right and you ally yourself with the stronger party, you may find yourself swallowed up and lost or conventionally forgotten when they become victors. Side with the weak, on the other hand, and you are doomed. But play the waiting game and you cannot lose. And what happens when people rush into situations and committing so quickly? You not only lose maneuverability, but people lose respect in you. You know, if you commit so quickly to things so haphazardly, you let people know how easily you give yourself away, because that's how people will perceive it. Even if it's a positive, a lot of people can perceive it that way. Remember, you have only so much energy and so much time. Every moment wasted on the affairs of others subtracts from your strength. You may be afraid that people will condemn you as heartless, but in the end, maintaining your independence and self-reliance will gain you more respect and place you in a position of power from which you can choose to help others and your own initiative. We get caught up so much, feeling guilty, feeling like we need to help this person and that person. We can't help everybody. I can't help everybody, right? I want to, but I can't. So I only have so much energy and time, as do you. So if you have family and friends and a partner that you want to help, and then you have a business, and you have the homeless man on the street who's asking you for money every day, you know, you have to learn to say no, because you have a finite amount of everything. Everything is a finite amount. So don't waste your moments because you feel guilty or you feel like you're compelled to do something for somebody else, because you don't owe anybody anything and they don't owe you anything. Reversal. Both parts of this law will turn against you if you take it too far. If you play too many parties against one another, they will see through the maneuver and will gang up on you. Keep your growing number of suitors waiting too long, you will inspire, not desire, but distrust. People will start to lose interest. Eventually, you may find it worthwhile to commit to one side, if only for appearance's sake, to prove you are capable of attachment. Even then, however, the key will be to maintain your inner independence, to keep yourself from getting emotionally involved. Law 20, do not commit to anyone.